It's Preview Thursday, game number three, week number three of the college football season. The Ohio State Buckeyes' next opponent, the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes. Here to help us learn more about the next opponent for your Ohio State Buckeyes, Miss Kelly Hines from Tulsa World.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, September 16th in the year 2021. And no matter if you're listening to the audio version of the podcast or if you're watching us on YouTube or WKYC.com, I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes a part of your day. On today's episode, we will be joined by Miss Kelly Hines, Tulsa football beat writer for Tulsa World, where she will help us get to know the next opponent for your Ohio State Buckeyes. The first time Miss Kelly and I did a show together, it was during the NC2A tournament leading up to the very first game that Ohio State played against Oral Roberts. After that tournament run that Oral Roberts had, she ended up getting and gaining another beat that she would be on. This one, the Oral Roberts basketball team. Her and I talk about that at the beginning of our show. But she goes on offense. We go on defense. Talk about targeting as well, her thoughts on that rule and how it is called. All that and more in my conversation with Miss Kelly Hines about the Tulsa Golden Hurricanes football team. But before we get to that, I want to remind you to make sure you check out the Locked On Big Ten podcast, because there's simply no better place to get all the news on the Big Ten Conference than with Nate Dickinson and the Locked On Big Ten podcast. Follow the Locked On Big Ten podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your fine podcast. And joining us now here on Locked On Buckeyes, it is Miss Kelly Hines. She is a Tulsa football beat writer for Tulsa World. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Leading up into us talking today, I was thinking about the last time you and I talked and how you and I were talking about the Oral Roberts Ohio State basketball game. I think we both thought that Ohio State would have played better and probably won the game. But Asmus and O'Banner did everything that was needed to win that game. I'm wondering if there's somebody listening that listened to that episode and was like, wait, she's back. Is it going to be the same outcome again? Will the team she covers beat Ohio State this week?
Oh, man, anything can happen. Just looking back on that very improbable, seemingly, run that Oral Roberts had in March, that was crazy. Think it'd be equally improbable for something crazy to happen in this game.
Anything is possible. How would you describe the Tulsa football team so far through two games?
Man, I feel like this is a team that, does not have things figured out yet and is very much a work in progress. I think a lot of teams are that way. But certainly, you know, to lose two games, both by very close margins, shows that, you know, really not that far off from getting it figured out, but ultimately two losses. And that's kind of a rough start to anyone's year.
It is. Last year, I went back and looked at it. 6-3 last year overall for the regular season. 6-1 in conference. They had losses to Mississippi State in the Armed Forces Bowl, the latter part of the season, that is. And then they lost to Cincinnati in the conference championship game, 27-24. They were ranked as high as number 18 in the AP poll, ranked 6 weeks straight. So I was going into this in the season thinking Tulsa's going to at least show a little promise or a little bit more fight and not have a close loss to UC or to California Davis, and then really looked a little better against Oklahoma State, but it's still Oklahoma State and you're trying to fight a hard battle. I had better expectations. Were your expectations so far, were they met? Were they a little higher, a little lower? How were the expectations for you?
You know, I think that UC Davis game was, you know, a disappointment, certainly to start your season with a home loss to an FCS team, not ideal. but, you know, had 9 guys who were suspended for that game, including 6 for the whole game, 3 for a half, from the very unflattering moment that happened after that bowl game with Mississippi State, just a crazy brawl. And the University of Tulsa did not really care for, you know, what happened there. So very harsh penalties that came down as a result of that. And I think that's why they lost that game. When you're down, you know, 3 defensive starters in your first game, I don't care who you're playing, that's going to be a lot to deal with. So I'm not really giving Tulsa a pass on that, because, you know, ultimately your guys got involved with something they probably didn't need to be involved with, and that was the repercussion. But definitely feel like it was hard to judge a lot on that game. Certainly on defense, offense had its struggles for sure. But and then, you know, in week 2, that's a game that, you know, would be tough for a lot of teams to win. That's a rivalry for Tulsa going over to Oklahoma State, only 72 miles away. And that's a series that's been dominated by Oklahoma State. And, you know, even though Tulsa played fairly well at times, couldn't really get out of its own way. And, you know, giving up a 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, you know, in the fourth quarter, not really ideal. But definitely had chances to win that game. Just, you know, kind of more of the same as what it's been really for the past 7 years. That's my time on the beat, of just, you know, not being able to make those winning plays.
This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go explore their easy-to-use website to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. If I remember right, I went back and I was actually following along a little bit during the first game against UC Davis. Was there frustration from your part based off what players were doing on the field? I think it was flags or just some really weird play that I noticed that brought a little frustration.
I mean, it is frustrating to see a team underachieve, you know, and you know, to see them get penalties that, you know, that's kind of been an issue in the past. And to see, you know, really so much work go into it in, you know, the spring and preseason to get those penalties under control, and then see them happen in such crucial moments. Like, I think at one point there were 4 defensive penalties on one drive. And I mean, you can't do that against anybody, but you really can't do that against like a, you know, a Dan Hawkins type coach team that's going to be, you know, take advantage of your slip ups. And to see that happen, I mean, I'm sure the coaches were really disappointed too, and the fans were disappointed, but, you know, to see a team like not really like live up to its potential, it's kind of annoying. You're like, just go on and do what you're supposed to do. And it's hard to cover those teams when they, you know, they struggle in that way. It's just a weird experience as a beat writer, instead of like, you know, not executing on offense or whatever. It's like, you know, just don't get a dumb penalty and maybe you'll win this game. So it was a little bit of a frustrating experience, just seeing how that game played out.
How would you describe the offense for Tulsa?
Man, I would say, you know, it's a work in progress, but, you know, definitely striving to be very balanced. You know, Davis Bryan is a first-year starter, and he's a guy who absolutely lit it up in his only real playing time before the season. Played, was the third string guy who had to go into the Tulane game last year, and played just insanely well. And you think, oh, and they, you know, Tulsa won that game in double overtime, and you think, well, just go out there and do that every game. Like, if you can do that in that game. But, you know, he had the entire offseason and all of this time to think about how he needed to go out there and do that. And I think you know, that was probably unrealistic for all of us to think that it would just happen that way. But he's a guy who's been around for so long. He graduated a semester early out of high school, and it's his fourth year in the program. He knows this offense very well. And I think he does have potential. It's an adjustment when you're a starter. Sorry. You going to say hi? That's one of my foster kittens had to make an appearance. And the rest of the offense, they're really everything. If Davis Bryan can get settled in, the offense has everything else needed for him to be successful. Offensive line is really deep and just solid. Running backs, definitely there are some good options there. Denaric Prince is probably the most notable one to mention, and just an entire stable of capable receivers. So the offense, you know, it's going to take some time for it to come together, but I definitely feel like there's potential there.
I think I was looking back, and I want to double check this very quickly. I don't see any touchdown passes completed for him so far. I thought that was a typo when I was looking through these stats. Okay. Okay. Is that a surprise?
You know, I think, maybe a little bit of a surprise. He's had some good moments, some good passes. It just, you know, for whatever reason, those, you know, he had a 40-yard pass that, you know, got Tulsa into the red zone, and then, you know, that was last week, and you know, had to run the ball in from there. It can be hard for this team to, you know, complete drives, to just have it all put together. But, you know, Davis has had some good moments even running the ball, and that's not really what he specializes in. I guess you could consider him to be dual threat because he has done it at times, but primarily he's going to be a passer. And, you know, when that doesn't work out at times, he has, you know, the ability to pick up some yards on the ground, but, you know, it's just been difficult for him to, you know, complete drives in that way. But yeah, the stats are kind of weird at this point, because I think he's thrown, you know, two interceptions, maybe two, I think, and no touchdown passes. That's kind of weird.
It definitely is. What about the running backs? We have seen that in the past couple of games where Ohio State's defense, from the Minnesota running back Ibrahim Humid, ended up getting hurt. And then last week against Oregon, the Ohio State defense had people believed it could be good, but there's still a lot of question marks, probably more questions about the defense through two games than anybody would have liked. Rushing game against Ohio State's defense, what kind of intrigues you about this matchup?
You know, it's kind of hard to get a good feel for things, because, you know, you look at Tulsa last week against Oklahoma State, which has a really good run defense, but not able to get much done. I mean, Davis Bryan led the team with, I think, 37 rushing yards. I mean, it was just not, they weren't able to establish that at all. Whereas in the first game, when, you know, Davis threw some interceptions, had some, you know, shaky moments, they relied on the run game, although that was, you know, you can't just like live with that completely. But, you know, definitely there's potential there. I know how much of a challenge it's going to be to get anything going against a team like Ohio State. But, you know, Denaric Prince is a transfer from Texas A&M. They're very high on him. He started last week, and, you know, they're throwing to him, you know, out the backfield. They're finding ways to get him involved. He had 5 catches for I think 50 yards, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, they were just trying to get anything going, and he is definitely going to be featured, you know, prominently in this offense. And they have some other guys. Anthony Watkins transferred from Missouri. Shamari Brooks is a sixth year guy, whatever he is now. They have some options. I just think it's going to be difficult to establish that early on. And if the run doesn't get going, it may be a very long day.
It might be.
A long day.
What phrase do you use to describe Tulsa's defense?
I would say, just in general, like the defense, I think is the strength of this team. You know, I think that, oh my gosh, did you see that? He poked me right in the eye.
Oh man.
He's really just a lot. Oh my gosh. That was really painful. I think that the defense, you know, when this team is winning games, you can almost always attribute it to the way that this defense has played. Doesn't get a lot of takeaways. They just, you know, they're very solid and they are just locked in from the get-go. And, you know, did have, you know, Justin Wright had a 55-yard pick six that was extremely important against Oklahoma State last week. But in general, they're not making those, like, you know, game-changing plays. They're just being really solid. And, you know, I attribute so much of that to Joseph Gillespie's, you know, his foresight to switch to 3-3-5 defense when at the time it was like, they're going to do what? You know, several years ago when he decided to do that, it just, you know, I had never covered a team that had used that alignment. And now I can't imagine them doing anything else because it suits the personnel so well. And it's really been enjoyable to see the defense develop when they're bringing in the guys suited to what they're trying to do. So I feel like it's a defense that has a lot of really good pieces that work really well together, and they're very well coached.
What are some names to know, players to know for the defense that Buckeye fans will want to know going into this game?
You know, I think so much of it starts up front. Jackson Player, he's a guy who really anchors the defensive line, anchors the whole defense. So, you know, when you're in that odd man front, you know, obviously they're getting double teamed like every single play, and he holds his own and like does more than that. And that's really incredible. And I feel like he's an underrated guy because of what he's able to do with having double teams on him. You know, it's going to be different, obviously, with Ohio State. A double team is going to be a lot to deal with, but most games, you know, and it was the same way against Oklahoma State. He had some success, and that just makes things so much easier for everyone behind him. So the linebackers still are not really at full strength, but are getting closer. And, you know, they had to replace a guy named Zaven Collins, who went to the NFL, and that's obviously difficult. But Justin Wright in the middle, he kind of he's a really intense guy who, you need that sort of player in the middle. And he had that pick six last week. And you know, he is going to be like in on every play for the most part. You know, I feel like there are a lot of key guys on defense, but those are the two that you know that they're going to have success at some point in the game. You feel really good about, you know, your chances, not necessarily against anyone, but against most teams when those guys are on your defense.
Hey guys, so there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you are sweating through your shirts for no reason. It's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know that I personally have dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this isn't life and death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it, and that's why I use SweatBlock and antiperspirant wipes. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. Go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Ohio State's offense, the receivers, they just came off a game where the top three receivers, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba, all went over 100 yards. Many people described this as Smith and Jigba's coming out party, and C.J. Stroud almost went for 500, and even if he didn't throw an interception, with as weird as the game was for Ohio State fans and for the defense and the offense at times, Ohio State still was they still had a chance to win the game. The receivers versus the Tulsa secondary, it will be close, will it be tight, will it be something where Buckeye fans will see success like last week? How do you view this matchup here?
You know, I think specifically the cornerback spot for Tulsa, you know, they're still working through that. You know, they had both of their starting corners decide to leave after the spring, and they both wound up following their position coach to Missouri. And you know, that's something that you can't really replace the experience of 2 4-year starters. And so I, you know, Tulsa went to the portal and absolutely did an incredible job finding guys. Trayvon Fuller is one of those. And he's been a little bit banged up, and they have some other guys, you know, who came in. It's just, you know, trying to find the right mix of guys. And that's, you know, that's been a challenge in the early going, and that's been against UC Davis and Oklahoma State. No offense to them at all, but, you know, they don't have, you know, what are presumably like 4 or 5 star guys that Ohio State has on their roster at receiver. So I think that that's going to be a huge challenge. Another element to it that's not great for Tulsa is, you know, Tulsa's safety, Kendarren Ray, is going to miss the first half Saturday because of a targeting penalty that happened in the second half of the Oklahoma State game. That hurts big time. Like, there's no way around that. That hurts. So I definitely feel like, particularly in the first half, it's going to be tough. And, you know, obviously guys can make plays and do unexpected things, but I definitely feel like that secondary is going to be targeted like early and often.
I wasn't going to do this, but you mentioned the targeting rule, and everybody has their own specific thoughts about, do they like it, do they not? Should it be a flagrant 1, flagrant 2 like the NBA, or should just college football have one rule and just alter what is there? How do you view how this rule is called game by game?
It's just so hard. I mean, there are many times when, you know, I'll see – a play at a game I'm covering in person, or I'll see it on TV and I'm like, oh yeah, that's definitely targeting, or, you know, oh yeah, no, that's not targeting. And it's almost like at least half the time I'm wrong, and, you know, either wrong or just, you know, that's how it turns out. It just, nobody knows what targeting is anymore. And it's difficult when it is such a judgment call and it affects things, you know, to that extent, to see, you know, especially, gosh, I don't like it in the first half either, but when you see something happen early in the second half of a game and know that, you know, that doesn't just affect like crucial moments of that game, but to see it carried over into the next, I hate it when it's not clear cut and there's so much at stake. You know, you take away for most teams, you take away a guy for close to a full game, and it affects things. And I understand, you know, why it's important for there not to be some of those, you know, shots and those moments in games that you're like, we could really do without that. But I just hate to see it, especially after last season when, you know, especially like for a team like Tulsa, they had so many games taken away because of COVID. And, you know, I think that happened for most teams, but, you know, they all just want to be out there. They want to play those games, and to see, you know, a game taken away from them because of a call. Gosh, it's hard to see that happen. And I don't know what the solution is. Like, you know, you can't really complain about a problem unless you have a better solution. And it seems like not, you know, to take that all of it away doesn't seem like a good solution either. It's just, I'm not a fan of how things are right now, just because it's so unpredictable. It's not consistent, and it, you know, there's a huge impact that it has.
Very true. Last question for you, piggybacking and continuing the targeting fact. I understand Tulsa's had some impact from targeting calls. How has Tulsa been impacted, and how have they responded when they lose a guy for the rest of that half and maybe the first half of the very next game?
You know, I think that you have no choice but to just look to the next guy. And I felt, you know, during the preseason, I really felt that this was the deepest Tulsa team that I've covered, you know, now in my eighth year on the beat. I really felt like, you know, there would be certain positions that they would be 2-3 deep, but it doesn't always happen that way. You know, when you have someone suspended, like what happened, you know, for the first game, that may not be a position that you feel really comfortable at to start with. And now, you know, there were positions that there were, you know, first team and second team guys out. And that's tough. That's really tough for most teams. And then it kind of goes with the same thing when you have someone who's injured or someone who's taken out by, you know, a targeting call, you know, that's going to be difficult to overcome. And I think especially with the challenge, you know, that Tulsa has with its schedule. This is a very difficult non-conference schedule. And, you know, not many teams have the situation where they can feel comfortable going and playing a top 10 team on the road without, you know, one of their starters for a half. I mean, most teams don't have that luxury. Tulsa certainly does not have that luxury. They need all of their guys on the field. And it's just going to be a situation that, you know, they're just going to have to just weather that first half, you know, without Kendarren Ray, for example. You know, they're just going to have to get through it. It may be painful, but you got to get through it. I just, you know, hope that in the second half. But I think that sets up guys for, you know, what is maybe a little bit too much pressure on them to come out in the second half and be like, well, I didn't play in the first half. I've got to make something happen here. And that's when you maybe don't make the best decisions for yourself and your team.
That is true. What's your prediction for the game? I know it's early in the week, but what's your prediction for the game and any final thoughts you have for this matchup on Saturday afternoon?
You know, I definitely feel like Tulsa is the type of team that, you know, they're going to be super fired up for this game. You know, I know that the game up there in 2016 got kind of out of hand in the second half, but, you know, that was a game that Tulsa was kind of staying in the first half, and there was crazy storm blew in and the game was pretty much over at that point. I definitely feel like Tulsa has the capability of, you know, making some crazy things happen, but ultimately you're playing Ohio State at home, and, you know, it's definitely David versus Goliath. Tulsa's the smallest FBS school. There's so many things that go into that. And I just know that the talent that Ohio State has is staggering when you look at it, you know, stacked up against Tulsa, but, you know, that's why we play the game. I think that, you know, Ohio State, you know, winning by 4 touchdowns, you know, that sort of outcome is probably, you know, that's what I'm expecting. If things got crazy, that wouldn't surprise me either. I'm terrible at predicting these things. It's been a weird season already, and we're only to mid-September. But, you know, I definitely feel like this is such a cool thing for Tulsa to go up there and play a game like this. And there'd be, you know, you don't lose any dignity by, you know, even if you get absolutely destroyed, like people are expecting you to lose this game. So you don't have a whole lot to lose, except for maybe just don't have your guys, you know, get injured or have targeting penalties and all of that stuff that we've talked about.
Absolutely. Kelly Hines, this has been fun. If you could let everybody know where they can connect with you on Twitter and also where they can read some of your articles leading up to the game.
Twitter, Kelly Hines TW is where you can find me. And then TulsaWorld.com, click on sports, click on Tulsa. You'll find it. It's not hard to find.
Not at all. Guys, this has been fun. I'm glad Kelly Hines can come back on the show. And this time, not preview a basketball game, but preview the football game this weekend between Tulsa and Ohio State. Kelly Hines, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
No problem. Anytime.
And that's all she wrote. Once again, I want to thank Miss Kelly Hines from Tulsa World for coming on and helping us learn more about Ohio State's next opponent on the football field. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can send your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. You can also text me 850-462-5442 as well. Let's keep the conversation going outside of the space of this Here podcast. Coming up tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be a live show. Like I mentioned a couple days ago, looking to do three live shows a week. Tuesday evening at 7, Thursday evening at 7, and then a live post-game show approximately 30 minutes after the conclusion of the football game Ohio State plays that weekend. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff changing. The live shows will be exclusively on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Locked On Buckeyes, hit the subscribe button, and hit the bell for the notifications so you are alerted every time a new video goes live on the channel. Before we close up shop, I want to remind you that betting on the Ohio State Buckeyes doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your fine podcast.